This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
It's pretty dope.
The absolute best choice.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You guys got any idea what happened June 5th, 35 years ago?
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's day off. That baseball game was played today.
June 5th.
Yeah. Really?
Ferris Bueller's day off. Why were they still in school June 5th?
Well, I was in school in June.
Were you?
Not in high school, yeah. In California, I was.
Really?
Yeah, we graduated, or at least school ended in like mid to late June, I think.
That would be way too hot here.
Yeah, it
would
be too
hot. But Ferris was in Chicago. They probably had some snow days they had to make.
Yeah, that's probably true. That is probably true. Yeah. His girlfriend was kind of hot.
Yes. Oh,
big time.
She was a smoke show.
Yeah. Did you say, going through Allison Footer's Twitter, did you see this story by Delino DeShields? Delino DeShields was an Astros. He was a first rounder for the Astros. And in one of his first, in 2012, at spring training, they were in Kissimmee. And three Mexican friends and a white guy. Friendstones were a group of three white people. Okay, never mind. They went out in his Escalade, and they couldn't find food, so they went to a Steak and Shake. And they drove through, and they were eating in the parking lot, and they were playing some music, and they were eating in the parking lot. And cops came up, and it looked like they were going in the store, and they got their hands on their weapons, and they go up and say, okay, what are you guys doing? Whose car is this? And Delino was like, it's mine. Is it really your car? Yeah, it's really my car. And then they did a complete search of it, and they gave him a ticket. Five cop cars showed up, and they gave him they completely searched everything, and they gave him a ticket for playing his music too loud. So it was that just story after story after story. And you know what? There's probably more of these stories that are going to be coming out. It's so unbelievable. And the white guys, I think there was one white guy, three Mexican guys and Delino, and he said they wanted to go back and they wanted to, you know, talk and say this is unfair and everything else. And Delino was like, hey, we ain't going nowhere. Huh? That's it. You just take it and you move on. Because crap, he said, with no provocation, they come up and they've got their hands on their weapons. I mean, that's the kind of, it's just gotta stop.
And these are stories that, as you said, can be told by, I don't know what the percentage, and a surprising amount of black people you would run into have a story like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep it to yourself. Okay, that's normal course of the day thing. That happened, but I know four other people it happened to too, so let's keep it moving. And Delino is right. I'm not going back over there to have that. We're not doing that. You know when we watch those videos, like when a white person gets angry when they get pulled over and they're screaming at the police. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you can't do this. What are you doing, you piece of... Have you ever watched it with a black person?
Get out of here. It's my freedom. My First Amendment right. I've seen that. And yeah. I'm always like, dude, you know what I am? Super cooperative.
Yeah.
I don't want any smoke.
You ever watch it with a black person? Like, mm-mm.
Well, I was racially profiled in Escalade.
You had an Escalade with the tinted windows.
Tinted windows.
And what did you want to do? You wanted to give the guy the business.
Give the guy the business.
And what did your lawyer say?
I said, my lawyer said, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I was on the phone with him. And I was like, this guy's racially profiling me. You see this?
No. You didn't actually say that.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I actually drove by, and I had it on cruise control. I drove by. There were three cops a mile apart shooting radar. And the third cop pulled me over. And I was like, you racially? And he goes, John, I know you. Just go. Just get out of here.
What? I don't think I want to know any more about this story.
No, I was telling him, I need you. What's your badge number? I was on the phone with my lawyer. I'm like, he's racially profiling me.
You called Rusty Harden too?
I didn't call Rusty because I wasn't 100% guilty.
Okay. If you missed that, Allison, well, you can go to Allison Footer's Twitter page.
I know Rusty. He's going to be pissed.
I bet he is.
He is going to be pissed.
I bet.
Some guy said, hey, my mom's a principal, and she used Rusty Harden.
Well, was she guilty?
And she said he was 100% innocent, Allison.
Prove
and she
it.
Was 100% innocent.
What did his mom? What was
guilty
mom,
and still proven innocent.
What was his mom accused of doing?
He didn't say. He didn't go that deep into it.
Yeah, okay. She was 100%
innocent. 100%
innocent. I need proof.
Oh, well, no one who's charged in this country is innocent?
No.
Yeah.
Everyone's guilty, John, till proven otherwise.
No. No, 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 that's not America. You know what we're about in America?
Not your America.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Other people's America, maybe they would disagree with you.
Yeah. Apparently, hey, Lance, you can go out. Galveston. People are uniting in Galveston to honor victims of racial injustice. You paddle out for George Floyd. Let's go.
You want Lance in the water?
Why? I can't be in the water?
I think
I'm a water
drown.
Athlete.
You would probably drown. You can't even walk.
I'm a water athlete.
You can't walk. Everyone was kind of surprised.
I'm so old I can't walk. So I halfway broke my foot like 3 years ago trying to stop a crime.
You weren't stopping a crime.
You were crossing the street.
People have said that. They're saying that.
Who said that?
No one. You said that.
I stopped the crime. They're saying it.
You weren't in that bunker either. I know. I heard you. You weren't stopping a crime. You were walking and you stepped up a. Remember initially he goes, well,
the process of stopping a crime, I tripped on a curb.
Initially he said it was a high curb.
It was a high curb.
To defend himself, he used a high curb excuse.
Yeah.
Very high. Highest curve in Mobile. They have the highest curves, the best.
Apparently not.
2 feet high.
So in Galveston. No, I'm with Del on this one. Dude, you will drown.
I won't drown.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drown. Plus, I'm not going to go far out in case the undertow gets me.
Either way, stay off the water.
I've seen enough movies. There's probably sharks. People haven't been out in the water. It's just, you know, the fish are hungry. They did say, McCool told me in Belize, you know, where they do all their scuba diving, the locals who live in Belize, who work there and who know the water, they won't get in the water now because they know that the fish have not been fed with, you know, a lot of times when they go on the trips and they throw the food and water and chum to bring them towards the boat, and then they can show the tourists and stuff like that. That hasn't been jumping off now. And so they know the fish are extraordinarily hungry, and they're like, yeah, we're not going in right now. We're not going to go in right now. We're just going to sit this on the sideline.
Yeah, well, it's like the national parks. You know where I ain't going? Where there's lions that are roaming loose.
Lions? What lions are in national parks? You mean bears?
Whatever. By the way, Mario Lopez, it's Kylie Wong's brother-in-law. Apparently, he's admitted that...
Oh, that's right.
Apparently, he's admitted that just days before he married Allie Landry, he had an affair.
Oh, you don't remember that?
No.
That broke up their marriage.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't last very long.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Allie Landry was smoke.
The Doritos girl.
Yeah. But this is his Twitter profile, or he tweeted this out. Over a black background with white letters. I refuse to hate police officers. I refuse to hate black people. I refuse to hate gay people. I refuse to hate except the Houston Astros. I hate the Astros. Can EAD.
Forget about the obvious.
Cheating mother.
Whoa, there that is.
Whoa, dump him, Del.
He didn't say it. For outside of the obvious dumb joke of it at all, do you think people are like, hey, could you not use those important issues to get off your joke about the Astros?
How about this cheater who cheated on his fiance days before their wedding is going to talk about the Astros cheating?
Was that brought up in the comments?
Yes, it was.
Should have been.
It was very early in the comments, yes. Astros fans had receipts.
I imagine the voice was like this.
Excuse me.
Didn't you cheat on your
Excuse me.
Wife right before the wedding?
Yeah, right before the wedding. Wow. That is the worst. The hypocrites about all the hypocrites. I hate Lance Armstrong. He was a cheater. Yeah. Dodgers. Yeah. Yankees. Yeah. Red Sox. Yeah, you hate them. You hate the cheaters that did steroids. Okay, and hate your team.
And really, Mario Lopez, no one's looking for you to comment on anything. You didn't have to. And then you just bring it on yourself. Was it worth it? Is all I'm saying. It only got 197 retweets anyway. He's got 1 million-plus followers. He got 197 retweets. So clearly, it didn't jump off the way he thought it would. And he got 249 replies. Was it worth it?
How is it? How the replies go, Dale?
A lot of Astro fans, like, rent-free. The first one was, of course, Astros defender, old AC, over at 790. Of course, he jumps in on all the anytime Astro slanders there. Read the room, Mario. There are a lot of people pretty much said it was stupid. You're dumb. It's dumb. Hey, man, don't do it. And I appreciate this one because I'm a fan of The Rock, and it's one that's been going around a lot now.
Shut up, bitch. Oh, my God.
And someone responded with that gif, shut up, bitch. or not even gif, sound clip from The Rock. Holly jumped in.
Did she? What'd she say?
I was with you until the Astros part. Zach Morris would never. Zach Morris obviously saved by the bell.
That's a good one.
So yeah, a lot of people were like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? It's dumb. It's unnecessary." And the Nashville fans were all on his mentions too.
Yeah,
he ain't been relevant since Saved by the Bell. Living rent free. That was a lot of it. I don't understand gibberish. Set Mario is the ultimate cheater.
Yeah, that's the ironic thing. And just he's talking about how he cheated on L.A. Landry, and then he puts out the Astros are cheaters. Boy, I hate them. What a douche. 914 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. I got to talk about my peeps over at HRP. HRP.net. They're the experts at this. This is a trying time for all businesses around the country. How do you get your business going again? How do you make sure that you get all of the stimulus packages that you deserve? How do you make sure you get that PPP, the small business loan? How are you making sure that, wait a minute, tax time, you're going to have to pay those taxes. Are you sure your Affordable Care Act is all taken care of? All of these things. HRP experts at. And if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, or you were trying to do all this yourself with your unemployment claims and every other thing that's going on, man, oh, man, oh, man, you probably missed stuff. You probably weren't able to get to a bank that would help you out. HRP has all the ins and outs about everything going on, and they're going to get your business back. They're going to help you in these trying times to get everything you possibly can. So all you got to do is go to HRP.net and let these experts take care of it for you. HRP.net, they were wonderful in help assisting us in these trying times. They've got all the answers. HRP.net, 281-880-6525.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So Drew Brees issued, did you see the video of Drew Brees' second apology? He issued a statement, and then he needed to shave, though, before he did this thing. I mean, wake up and shave, Drew. But he issued enough. But I guess if you're feeling bad, you want to look kind of scruffy, right? I guess. Dell's pulling up a... you got it? The soundbite from Charles Barkley? He's pulling up a soundbite. I agree with Charles on this one. Drew Brees has apologized a couple of times. Apparently, I don't think Malcolm Jenkins has accepted his apology. And then there's some other players that have piled on. And he's gotten some unbelievable vitriol. But Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and Demario Davis accepted it. But he's still getting destroyed. And the whole racist thing, I don't get. Just because he feels that way about the flag, that's not racist. Good Lord. America, wake up. I'm woke, okay? And so I need people to wake up and be woke like me.
I can't figure out if Woke John is my least favorite or most favorite character. I'm in a really weird place with that.
Woke John during normal times, I feel like I can deal with. Woke John during this time is like, I worry for John.
Is there anyone
more woke than you?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, yes, no. There is. Yes.
No.
Yes.
And I'm even more woke now. I'm taking my CBD.
That doesn't make you woke. Why? What do you mean gesture doesn't help? What does that mean?
You don't know nothing about being woke. You're not part me.
Don't
I'm
do
team
it.
Team Jamal.
Oh, boy. Okay. Like 3 months ago, I feel like, even a month ago, you could say that. Everyone's like, it's John, me and John. Now, they're like,
No. It's true. It is true. There's nothing more
Lance,
true.
Lance, get your boy, is all I will say.
I can't get him. No one can. Wendy can't even get him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John, what's that I hear about you being woke again?
Yep.
I told you just to be quiet and sit this out.
Don't use that word anymore, John. Woke.
Stop using the W word.
Yep. That's me.
Yeah, we got Charles Barkley here.
Here's Charles Barkley talking about the vitriol towards Drew Brees.
Well, it was a very interesting day for me as a guy who's a talking head on television, who's not on television. Drew's original statement, I thought, was insensitive. It was very insensitive, especially during this time. But I thought the negative reaction from every talking head on television and some of his teammates was overkill. I've never heard a bad word about Drew Brees in my life. He made a mistake. But we've gotten to the point in society where everybody on social media thinks they are God, judge, and jury. Drew Brees made a mistake. But I've watched very closely today because I want to come on TV because I didn't know you were going to ask that question. But just in case you did, hey, Drew Brees was wrong in his initial statement. But the level of vitriol, anger, and things like that, I thought was overkill. Drew Brees, whatever he said, I thought he talked about, hey, the flag means different things to different people. But I thought the way he was portrayed on television and radio today was not fair at all. Brees has done some amazing things in New Orleans and his life. I'm not even talking about football. He made a mistake in a statement. But this level of we've got to kill everybody who says something we don't agree with, I'm never going to go with the mob. I want to make it clear. I did not like what he said right away. But the vitriol and animosity and hatred he just got for the last 24 hours, I thought it was overkill. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. Let's, guy, okay, everybody, boy, if you slip of a tongue or make a mistake or good, then you're canceled.
It wasn't a slip.
That's not a slip. It was a mistake.
He has an opinion that was, and he has a right to his opinion. He didn't read the room, take the temperature, whatever. He didn't. It was insensitive. However you want to label it, that's fine. But what Charles said is right. This guy just gave $5 million to the city of New Orleans out of his pocket to help with COVID and the relief efforts and things like that. Drew Brees, I've never heard a single bad thing. You don't stay in the league for two decades and not have some stories come out about you if you're not a good guy. I think Drew is a good guy. He took a stand that was – I think actually Charles, to me, said everything perfectly. I don't have anything to add, really. I mean, I think Charles said it right. If you want to set your sights on someone, there's a lot more – I mean, what Jake Fromm said is way, way worse than what Drew Brees having an opinion that was insensitive / ill-timed, even though it is his opinion. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where else I can go with that one. But also, guys who are 30 years old and under, I think, are going to have much stronger feelings about that. And social media has, I mean, they have created some element of mob mentality when things get tweeted, liked, retweet, comment, and then you have people who some of the worst are when you see the 45 follower people who try to get into a thing so they can get their likes or retweets by going, you know, whatever the mob says they're going to do it to. And it's in any direction. I've seen it happen in all kinds of different directions. But Drew doesn't feel like he's that guy that he needs to be called a racist. That's just stupid.
But he is. I mean, he's labeled, and that's just, I don't know. It's just a shame. I mean, and other players from other, what, Deion Jones chimed in. Nah, that racist, nah. You know?
Yeah, I don't know who Ryan Fournier is. I think he's just some political grifter or whatever. I don't know exactly what he does. But he tweeted out, "I stand with Drew Brees." And then, what's his name? AJ, receiver, Titans 11, rookie last year.
Brown.
AJ Brown was like, "You ain't ish either." So, in response to when he said, "I stand with Drew Brees." So, at least from that, and I don't know if AJ Brown has felt differently after Drew Brees apologized, but the initial reaction to Drew Brees, as Charles said, was like, "F that guy." From players, a lot of players around the league was like, "We're done with you."
Yeah, I'll be more interested to see if Jake Fromm doesn't catch it. And you know what? He's not good enough. He's just not good enough to throw elite white people out there.
No. First round pick. It's going to be rough for you.
No. You can't hit it. You can't hit a sideline route. Sorry. You can't throw elite white people out there. Should have guns and nobody else. That's just. But what about the snitching? Lance.
The girl told you why she did it. At least that's what she told. She said, "Hey, this is who he is with this whole Black Lives Matter thing. I'm not going to let that go. This is who Jake Fromm is, apparently, according to her."
Snitch.
Snitching rules change.
Everybody's a snitch now. I thought I could trust you with racist texts. Apparently not.
Whether it be for clout or because she really believes what she said, trust goes out the window. Don't do nothing.
Mm-mm.
Ken Caminiti's daughter posted something in the Pecan Grove neighborhood, I don't know, newsletter or Next Door or whatever it was, about some of the names of the streets that need to be changed, things like that, in that she thinks are racially insensitive. She's 23 now.
Cammy's daughter, 23?
Yeah. And she said, "Okay, these names I'm not okay with. I think these are insensitive. I have friends who felt uncomfortable coming over to my house."
What are they called? Whitey?
Old Dixie Street or Old Dixie Road or something like that. One was, so Pecan Grove was always built on
Confederate Place?
No, it wasn't Confederate Place.
No?
Well, some of them are Old South Road.
Yeah.
John's not right. Confederate Court.
Confederate Court.
Plantation Drive.
Plantation Drive.
Old Dixie Drive, Colonel Court.
Well, Plantation Drive is one of the main ones. You have the Grove and the Plantation. There's two different sections, the Grove and at least that's how it was when we first moved there. We lived in the Grove. The Plantation were nicer houses. And that's not even a joke or anything else.
No.
The more expensive houses were in the Plantation subdivision, and Grove was like one of the first, and they were, you know, more affordable houses in Pecan Grove.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted I want a street named after me. You know, Granado Drive or Granado.
And what's going to happen when they pull it down? Is it going to be a sad time for the Granados when people are pulling a sign up?
The people are going to take the sign out because they want to put it. You ever steal a street sign for your bedroom?
I feel like it'll be more of a protest where they go, "We can't have this sign in our neighborhood anymore."
No. That's what I want. I always thought, yeah, because I grew up on Elm Circle Drive. You know what? Maybe we could change this name.
John's going to have his name for a street name, and in the middle of the night, like after protesting, authorities are just going to pull it down with no warning. Like, what's going on? Have you seen that? Like, obviously, I'm not comparing you to Confederate generals, but have you seen what's going on? Like, no. In the middle of the night, they're pulling down these statues because of protests that have happened around them. And when people come back, "Hey, where's my favorite Confederate general?
Hey.
Where is he?
Gone.
Yeah, sorry. Out of here." And they pulled down, who was the guy who got a lot of criticism in Philly? Was he the mayor, the police chief? Was it I can't remember his name. But people tried to pull that down at the beginning of the protest, and the city came in the middle of the night, like a couple days ago. "Let's get this guy out of here." and they pulled his down too. And they erected the statue and pulled it down in the middle of the night because
they ain't pulling mine down.
I mean,
they ain't pulling it down. And you know what?
And you don't have a statue. You don't have
a street. I want a street named after me. And you know what? Maybe in Chinatown, I will.
I'm out.
Is it time for a break? It's 9:29. Time for a break.
Oh, look at that.
What do you know? aren't we fortunate, Lance?
Whoo! Is Charlie already in studio? Is no. Joel walking in right now?
No, it's 9:20. No, the show's not over.
You only have a half an hour with him.
I've got a half hour of landmines to dodge.
I got an hour and a half of it.
Leap Tidell.
Goodbye.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't think, no, that's that. Gary, I want it to be Granato Drive, not Dark Meat Drive. I don't think that's not what we're going to do. Gary Ryan wants that to be my street name. I used to live in Lake Olympia. Every one of those street names had some racial connotation. What are we going to do with Sienna Plantation, says Lamont. Why can't, they just call it Sienna. Why you got to throw the plantation on there? Just call it Sienna.
Sienna Drive or Sienna Lane.
Sienna is an area. It's a pretty big area.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Just call it Sienna. That's all. I live in Sienna, not Sienna Plantation. You know, we gotta watch. Words are important now, okay? So it looks like the Gov says we can have 50% now.
Yeah, 50% in stadiums around the state. And you know, it's only June where no pro sports are being played. By the time it's time for football, you know, Governor Abbott's gonna up that to 80%.
And Scott Woodward, the LSU athletic director, came out and said, you know, yeah, we're going to have fans in the stands. Yeah, some of this is on you're operating at your own risk here, okay? And do you want to come to the game? Come to the game. If you don't. If you don't feel comfortable being by people, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of face masks in the crowd. And there should be, especially if you're standing. Listen, I don't think you put 100,000 people in Tiger Stadium. And I don't think you put, but Greg Abbott went from 25% just a week ago. This week it's 50. You know, and this week apparently it's okay in our indoor stadiums now. It's because the Astros and Rangers are both talking about, we're going to get, so we can get 20,000 fans in our stands. Okay. And it's June 5th. So by September, I mean, unless there's, now, everybody is saying the same thing. Everybody. Dude, if we don't have a major outbreak of coronavirus after this last week, then this whole thing was a big waste of time. This whole thing was a huge waste of time.
Lance keeps talking about it. Wasn't it simply put to keep the healthcare industry from being under fire?
Right.
Yes.
That's right. What the whole social distancing.
Well, now, but if the healthcare industry is not going to be under, and we're seeing... at least 12 players. We saw 5 Alabama players and 7 Arkansas State players. I would like to know if they thought they were sick. They've tested positive. I mean, if a bunch of us are walking around here, especially young people are walking around with the coronavirus and not knowing it, then maybe we weren't going to be under
except siege. That they're spreading it. There's 110,000 deaths. I don't know about all that stuff. I mean, since February, 110,000 deaths in the country. That's pretty high. I understand a lot of them are in, I think over 60,000 were in
nursing homes,
assisted living. Yeah. But that's one of the problems is that when you have younger asymptomatic people who are going all over the place, I mean, it's still spreading.
Well, but what we did was, I don't know that younger people spread it throughout the nursing home. What we did is we didn't protect them well enough. If they were the most likely to be sick, then maybe the governor of New York shouldn't have sent all of them back to the nursing homes, and you know you can convalesce there instead of the hospitals, and then spread it throughout the nursing home and kill how many people die? How many people died?
That's 60,000. That's not just New York. That's all over.
No, it's all over. I know.
New Orleans had a really, really bad problem with it.
Right. No. But if they're the most susceptible, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer. But if they certainly all of the, I mean, all of the stay-at-home orders and how socially distanced, and then this week we just said, to hell with that.
Hold on, John. But you just saw 50. We've had a 50% spike over the last week in Texas. That's from actual data. I would say that the spike is real, and we were the ones who opened up. You know, flatten the curve just means slow it down so we don't overwhelm hospitals. And now our ICU beds, they said, are at they're getting close to warning level. Now I don't know what warning level means. If it's means 60% capacity, 50, 80, I have no idea what that means. But I did see it on Channel 2 this morning that they said we're getting close to being at warning level on ICU beds. So I think there has been that spike you're talking about, 100%. You can it doesn't take long to find. We had a 51% increase from May 26th to June 2nd, the 7-day run. They do it in 7-day increments, and we were up 50%, one of only three states that were up 50%. So I think we have had it. I don't think there's like, look at this, nothing happened.
Yeah, the headline is on Click 2, Houston. Med Center sees uptick in COVID-19 patients and ICUs. Warns if trend continues, capacity could be exceeded in 2 weeks' time. So that story is out there. We don't like that website because it's not ABC 13, but it's out there for you. Yeah, so I don't know if it's a waste of time if there's not a huge uptick. Because who knows if like those protests were filled with young people. If a young person's asymptomatic, they're probably not going to head to the hospital and get checked out. So will those numbers from the protests even be accurate?
None of the numbers are accurate.
So who knows?
Listen, none of the numbers are accurate.
If the deaths
– none.
I think the over 100,000 people dying proves that this thing was real. Now you can get into what could have been done, and does staying at home if you're a younger person matter? But I wouldn't just say.
Or protecting the elderly better.
Yeah. However, the government failed those people is what I would say. We might want to throw that out there, but it was real and it affected the people most that it was going to affect. Older people.
Right,
and it killed a lot of them.
Right. And I think in large part, Lance, though, from the early days, we didn't have testing, and we have a lot more testing now.
Oh, that just means there was a lot more cases.
Well, but again, how many of them are deadly, and how many are just...
It does... Well, yes, we know 110,000 have been deadly. That's the number.
Right, throughout the country.
Right.
Right.
But we're seeing a spike
in Harris County, we have 231 deaths.
Right. But we've also adhered better than most, and we're also not public transport. We don't ride trains, and we're not a public transportation city. That's a big, big advantage. That's a huge advantage because that's not socially distanced. Number two. Oh, hold on a second.
What's Chris saying?
It's just something on TV. No, we're not a public transportation city. We also don't live on top of each other with tons and tons of apartments upon apartments upon apartments where that's everything. We have houses. We have room. We did follow and adhere to a lot of, in general, I know a lot of people didn't do it as much, and that's why we have flattened the curve. But now as we open up, we're going to see spikes. It's all going according to the script. I mean, this was going to happen. It was supposed to happen. Now you back off a little bit more. You maybe take a few less chances, and you try to dial back the amount of people in the ICU. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If there is a warning, I guess because they're starting. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's just interesting. I can't tell you how many people said to me, "If we don't, this was all what a disaster for our economy." And if we don't have a huge uptick now, so people are hoping for a huge uptick, apparently. or
I'm not. I'm hoping that we, you know, I'm hoping that, we don't have it, but I know we're going to get some. We're going to have an uptick. I hope people don't die and all that stuff, but, you know, hopefully there will be people who are then immune to it. Hopefully everything goes good with the with what's going on with the inoculation, which that's it. That's in a good – right now it seems to be running in the right direction. I know scientists the other day I read they feel very confident that we're going to have something by no later than the earliest part of 2021, which is good. So, I mean, there's definitely some positive news, but we're not – we're still in the middle of – we're probably in quarter number three is my guess as a country. We're in the third quarter.
Well, it looked like – well, we certainly took a halftime. We certainly did take – because we definitely just decided – Roni don't matter no more.
Roni takes a back seat. Roni took a back seat for a week plus and maybe even longer. We'll see how long the protests continue.
Social distance guy is here with us on ESPN 97.
Oh, no.
Let's get him in here.
Oh, hey. Yeah. First of all, happy birthday, Dale.
Thank you, social distancing guy.
And second of all, I just left the poker room, but there was no social distance.
What'd you say?
Where'd you? He just left
the poker room and there's no social distance, he said.
There ain't no social distance. Everybody like shaking hands each other and hugging each other and everything else. You know, like, I can't say John. You know John is going to gamble and everything else. So we've been gambling it up, doing the damn thing.
Well, I left there yesterday. I didn't hug anybody. I was there yesterday. I didn't hug anyone.
Did you go to Prime or someplace else?
Oh, I was at Prime.
Yeah. And every employee there was wearing a mask, hand sanitizers all over the place. I'm saying
there's no social distance regardless in Houston.
That's no social distancing?
Not in Houston.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people who don't take a lot of chances.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's gotten lighter. It's gotten a lot lighter. I will say that. There are people taking... It's almost like letting their guard down almost. I have seen that.
I went to Maggiano's because that's what I do. I get their lasagna for my birthday. And they just reopened the one at the Baybrook Mall. I don't know how long they've been open, probably in the last 2 weeks or so.
No, or did you eat it?
No, I'm not eating it. No.
Why ain't eating there?
Well, I'm just taking home.
Do you ever?
Clean place?
No, I don't. I'm not suggesting that they're not. It's just I'm not just going to stop there and
But you're always a to-go guy, aren't you? Do you ever eat in any restaurants?
Not unless I'm with someone. So no. So they had the soap dispensers at the door. They probably you talk about social distancing. They probably had a soap dispenser in their front area, like every 6 feet.
Yeah.
There was one of those things like held down by maybe a door or something to keep it stationary. But and the sanitizer on the it was just shocking because I hadn't been in like a sit down restaurant in a little while. And it was like you couldn't walk 6 feet without having something where you could get soap on your hands.
Did you get the bread with the olive oil?
Yes, John. It's complimentary. Of course I did.
Know. Of course you did.
I'm not new, John.
No.
I'm not new to Maggiano's.
That's the key to a Maggiano's.
So from a very, very early stage, there's a restaurant right over by us called Roostar. It's really good. Vietnamese restaurant. And great banh mi and everything. And I'm talking about in March when the to-go stuff first started. You know when you couldn't find any hand sanitizer? They had hand sanitizer. And they had, I mean, this was the most organized I have ever seen a restaurant. The orders that had been pre-ordered on app were on the left on a table with your name on it, separated from other orders. You came in on the right. If you're going to make an order and you waited there, they had hand sanitizer when you walked in. They had hand sanitizer before you go. Everyone had a mask. They had spots on the floor. Like, they were way ahead of the game, way, way ahead. And I've seen other restaurants, and that's impressive that Maggiano's is doing that. That's good. That's commendable. I know when I went to Riel the other day, they had hand sanitizer on all the tables that you could spray anytime, you know, at any time during the meals. I went to REI yesterday. They have masks for you. When you want to go in, there's a disposable mask right there that you can put on that you can take. I don't know, social distancing, guys. Some people are still trying.
Yeah. No. Social distancing. I felt safe at Prime yesterday. I didn't have any problem.
I thought that was going to be a character.
Yeah, so did I. It was very disappointing, social distancing guy.
You are listening to The Bench. on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. What did Mike Freeman tweet out, though?
Mike Freeman. You can find him at Mike Freeman NFL. I'm hearing a group of players want to do a video where they specifically address NFL owners over the banning of Colin Kaepernick. So to your point about empowerment, they're on the offensive.
Yeah, they are.
They're not hesitating at this point.
I'm still of the opinion. I don't know. I don't. Again, I think blackballed means something different than people are. Colin Kaepernick, I don't believe was blackballed. That's not what I believe blackballing is. I believe blackballing is we are not going to hire you. We're getting together. We're going to collude and say nobody hire that guy.
Do you believe the NFL owners brought on less talented players simply because they didn't want to face
want
what would come with it?
They didn't want the heat.
That's 100%.
And that's, and you know what? Economically, business, it made good business sense because you would have alienated – half of your fan base. Now you say, well, you still got the other half. Okay, but now, did you want to take a stand and say, I don't care about all of that stuff, and you know, I don't believe what he did was wrong, and I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to give Colin Kaepernick a job, and the consequences be damned? Yeah, you could have done that. None of them did that, though.
What if how would it have been handled? I don't remember having this conversation, but how would it have been handled if he was a star player? Would the same issue, would fans, would teams have been worried about losing 50% of the fan bases? Well, he would have. First of all, he wouldn't have not been on a roster. Now, let's tell the whole story. Colin Kaepernick opted out of money that he had in the contract, and I don't know if he thought he was going to get a job somewhere else. I don't really know how that went down. And Colin even said he was going to stop. He was going to stand because he felt like, remember, after that year, he said, I feel like I made my point. I will stand next year. Yeah. And then Trump, we know, came out and lit the match the next year, and it all disintegrated. But I'm interested to see if anyone looks to put him on a roster now. I had no doubt that Colin Kaepernick could have been a very good backup to lower-end starter, I think, is probably in the neighborhood, my guess, of what he would have been based on what I had seen as a player, which clearly means you can stand it. I mean, it's better than Matt Schaub. He could have continued to stay in the league. There's no question. Everything that you said, Dell, is 100% accurate. I'm interested to see, now that the temperature has changed, to see if someone looks at that, because now he's 3 years removed from football. Now he's 3 years removed from pro football. So I don't. I think we will see him in a camp. I don't know if he makes a team or not. That will also be interesting. And I think it needs to be the right team that has a strong starting quarterback that you don't have to worry about people demanding for a backup to come in for non-football reasons.
Yeah, I don't. Would he be? Now, see, I think the kneeling is going to be much more acceptable.
Oh,
going
yeah.
Forward here. I think that NFL teams are going to, I think the players in the first, for those of you that weren't here in the first segment of the show, players are going to unite. The Texans and Chiefs are going to kick it off first, and I will almost guarantee you that every single player will be on a knee for that first game.
What about Colin Kaepernick as a Texan now? What are your thoughts now? Before, I would have said absolutely not. There's no chance. If Colin is still anything close to being the same quarterback, you know, once again, that has to be the first thing you answer. But playing in Deshaun Watson's offense, I know he would have to be the third quarterback or at least compete with A.J. McCarron for the backup spot. Bill O'Brien had some impassioned words. What about Colin Kaepernick as a Texan? Do you think that has any chance of happening?
I don't know. I don't know now. I saw Cal. I saw if Cal is okay, if Cal's fine, then there's, you know, I think that that's really a chance. There's a chance.
What do you mean if he's fine?
Well, I don't know if he's. I don't know. Is he all right? I don't know.
Oh, you mean because of that video?
Yeah.
Where it looked like he was a hostage?
He was a hostage.
Oh. I don't think Colin Kaepernick plays again unless the NFL gets that apology that Michael Freeman is gives him that apology that Mike Freeman is referencing. Because if they don't admit wrongdoing, he's in a very weird position to come back, as Lance put it, what, 3 years, three, 4 years later, if he doesn't get some type of acknowledgement that there was, I don't know, collusion, banning, whatever it has to be, that NFL owners decided he wasn't worth the trouble. And they openly admit it.
Well, they,
I don't know how he comes back.
Well, they've already paid him. They've already settled with him.
A settlement that we don't know anything about.
And, you know, I guess the confidentiality agreement they wrote, that's fine.
I just don't see where he is. I don't know how he does that without that type of apology. So, look, we made a mistake in how we handled your kneeling and how we approached bringing you on our roster. And then I don't see NFL owners apologizing. Or even a statement from the league itself.
No. And you know what? That's what the players are asking for in that video that they just put out. They want an apology. They want the league to admit it, that they made a mistake. That's not probably not going to happen. Although, I don't know. Maybe the NFL is going to say, you know what? We have to be better about this. I mean, it's a bunch of old white guys making these decisions now.
Will they directly reference it? Maybe they say, hey, we should have allowed our players to protest in the way they saw fit, but do they directly address and say we handled Colin Kaepernick incorrectly and the why he didn't find his way on the roster is our fault and we're wrong? I don't know if they say that.
I don't know if they say that. I don't think they say that.
And I don't know how he plays again if they don't give him that.
I don't see. No. Well, I don't. Do you?
If he even wants
to. I'm torn on whether or not Colin Kaepernick wants to play.
I thought his last thing was not a good look at all. No. He had an opportunity. I know the words coming out of his camp is that this was a farce, it was a sham, it was this. For you to put it on tape, I really thought he had a legitimate chance to get a sniff, a legitimate look, if he had gone through the processes of having something that was organized where all the teams could go to it. And it almost seemed like an intentional self-sabotage. I'm just telling you what it looked like a self-sabotage, the way it was handled after that. Now, John asked a question. Imagine bringing in Cap for camp and then cutting him. That would probably be worst case scenario. Possibly, especially if you don't have any preseason games. And so people really can't see the guy play. He doesn't get reps.
Yeah.
Because third string quarterbacks, I got news for you. They're not getting a lot of reps this year in the preseason. I mean, in camps. They can't. They got to get ready. I'm assuming there won't be preseason games, but the NFL still has them locked in, so maybe there will be. I don't know. Maybe the NFL will.
Oh, absolutely. No. The announcement yesterday or the day before was the preseason is on, and every game will be played.
Will it stay on, though?
Yeah. There's a good chance, and I think it's dumb. Just go into your games. Why are you risking? Why are you going with limited number of fans at games that don't matter?
I also wouldn't
you want to
have...
talk about now that's the games everybody should stay away from.
Well, they're not going
to
be there.
How stupid is it to go to a preseason game and be next to people and endanger yourself and everyone around you for a preseason game?
John, are you hungry?
Starving.
Okay, then I think the Texans would like to get you out a free pizza if you really stop. If you'd stop telling people to don't be stupid, don't go to a football game.
You know what? These are important games. These are really important to get ready for the season. Nah, preseason sucks. First of all, it should be two games at most. It should be, and you know what? Oh well. So you don't get that. You get one game revenue, home revenue for a preseason game instead of two. Just stop, NFL. Preseason is stupid. If you get hurt in the preseason, you're the dumbest. Your coach is the dumbest coach ever. If somebody important gets hurt in the preseason, which happens all the time.
You know what's not stupid? And as I make this awkward transition, we're doing something a little special here.
What,
John?
What are we doing?
The Houston Honorary ESPY. The ESPYs have always celebrated hope, service, and perseverance. This year, more than ever, we want you to celebrate with us, and we want to celebrate athletic achievement right here at home. ESPN 975 is honoring a local athlete whose senior season was cut short due to the COVID-19 health crisis. Tweet at ESPN 975 with the hashtag Houston ESPY before June 9th to nominate and say why that senior or college athlete is deserving of the Houston Honorary ESPY. We'll share our final five nominees and announce our Houston Honorary ESPN winner on Tuesday, June 9th during the Blitz. Join us in celebrating local Houston, local senior high school and college athletes. So that's a thing. If you know someone out there who could not finish their season due to COVID, let us know. They got a shot to win an ESPY. This is going to be a nationwide thing, at least as far as the ESPN affiliates are concerned. And bye, Lance.
This is ESPN 97.5.